Welcome to Hashtag Finance Master, a weekly show where Anders Leo Lindberg discusses the latest trends in finance and accounting with a global audience via LinkedIn audio. Recorded live, anyone can tune in and take part. Just raise your hand and share the stage. Will you join Anders next time? For now, kick back, relax, and enjoy this week's show.
Good afternoon, good morning, good whatever you are in the world. Welcome to another episode of the Hashtag Finance Master Show. Great to be back for another week and continuing our deep dives into the top 10 priorities for CFOs in 2024. Today's topic, strategic leadership for CFOs. Also, just want to highlight our recently released LinkedIn Learning course, Driving Business Impact for Finance Professionals. It's been live for a month now. We have 20,000 people bookmarking the course and 1,500 people already started learning. Definitely a lot of great learning content there if you have access to LinkedIn Learning. With that said, let's jump into today's topic. And we released a blog post this morning, my time, called More Strategic Leadership is Needed from the CFO. So I'll walk through it and I'll invite you up on stage at some point if you want, and you can join in on the topic as well. So who's in charge of strategy formulation and execution in your company? Most would probably answer the CEO. No argument there. Who's then facilitating these two processes? Maybe the answer is not as clear. The CFO would be a good answer though, at least if you ask me. Why is this important? It's because most strategies fail to deliver the expected return. According to Wharton School of Business, strategies deliver only 63% of the expected results. That's a big shortfall and potentially significant value destruction. The financial results speak for themselves. According to McKinsey, 20% of companies deliver 80% of the global value creation. The CFO needs to take the steering wheel, and it needs to happen now. That's why strategic leadership is another of the top 10 priorities for CFOs in 2024. Most people don't associate CFOs with being visionary strategic leaders. Perhaps that's okay. But to ensure companies make the best possible strategic choices and execute accordingly, there's no one better than the CFO. Last week, we discussed how CFOs should take charge of managing the next normal, which has a lot of strategic elements. This week, we elevate that conversation and discuss how CFOs can become strategic leaders and drive strategic value realization in their companies. First, we'll introduce a framework for strategic leadership, and then we'll dive into the 10 levers of value creation as identified by McKinsey. So, a framework for strategic leadership. To drive this process, most CFOs will need a framework to facilitate discussions and build a strong alignment across the company to move forward. You can find such a framework in Roger Martin's Playing to Win. It consists of 5 central steps. Number 1, craft the winning aspiration. So what is it you're trying to achieve as a company? Number 2, decide where to play. So in which markets, segments, products, where are you going to play? And then plan for how you're going to win. How are you actually going to do this in a competitive space? Then, number 4, map the capabilities that you need. Maybe you have some in-house already. Maybe you'll need to acquire some people or other companies. And finally, design a management system needed to execute. And I think a key consideration also made by Rodney Martin in his book, Playing to Win, is we are playing to win. If you cannot be number 1 or number 2 on the playing field you choose to play, forget about it. Then either you need to find a different playing field or narrow the playing field down, because if you're not playing to win, you won't create value. And I think McKinsey's research proves that as well. And it's also important to note that strategy is about making choices. Too often, companies don't make firm decisions on where to play and how to win. And as such, they end up not winning or losing, if you will. As noted in Roger Martin's book, companies must pick a playing field where they can win and be close number 2, as I mentioned. This is likely the most critical role for CFOs to play. Drive the qualification and quantification process of the choices a company can make. Without that, there won't be a good discussion. Maybe people will just pick their pet peeves just because it will give them more prestige or work rather than making objectively good decisions. This can seem like a challenging process to drive, as there would seemingly be no limits to the choices a company can make. However, as we highlighted in last week's article, McKinsey has already done a lot of the work for you. They have highlighted 10 levers that drive 80% of the long-term value creation in the company. The levers are size of revenue, debt capacity, R&D investment, industry trends, geography trends, M&A programs, resource reallocation, capital expenditure, productivity improvement, and differentiation improvement. And we'll dig into each of these seen from a CFO's perspective. Some of these are historically based, others externally driven, and the remaining ones are active choices you can make. So let's dig into these 10 levers. First, size of revenue. Size matters in business, as you simply have more muscles to maneuver in the market. In an analysis from 2018, McKinsey documented that if a company had a revenue above $7.5 billion, so that's, I guess, by most companies, quite huge, it would have a higher chance of strategic success. You cannot, of course, change your historical revenue. However, it emphasizes the importance of growth as a driver of strategic success. And as a matter of fact, we'll be discussing how CFOs can drive growth next week. So don't miss out on that either. As a CFO, ask or analyze what are ways your company can increase growth and revenue. Of course, it should be realistic in the first place that you can build the size that matters. If today you are a $200 million company, it's probably not realistic to become a $7.5 billion company. So you need to find other ways of being successful strategically. If not, focus elsewhere. Maybe you want to be the best player in your niche. That's actually what we are doing at Business Partnering Institute. We're never going to be a $7.5 billion company. We want to be the best in our niche, the go-to company, anyone globally that needs their finance teams to become better business partners. That's a bit of a sidestep, but just to say that that's a choice you can make. Okay, debt capacity is up next. The more debt you have, the more tied up you are. I think that's simple, common financial logic. Highly leveraged companies will face more challenges in making investments or acquisitions. Similarly, your lenders may put restraints on your maneuverability by e.g. requiring that a certain amount of cash flow is tied up in debt service through debt covenants. Or McKinsey has documented that your debt-to-equity ratio should be in the top 40% of your industry to increase your odds of strategic success. Where I used to work at Maersk, we did an acquisition back in 2017 that highly leveraged the company, and it put restraints on all the way until the pandemic, where, of course, the global supply chains meant that Maersk were making more money than ever before. But between that acquisition and this extreme situation forced by the pandemic, Maersk was very limited in their strategic options since everything was tied up in debt service and the rating agencies weren't too kind to the performance of Maersk. So that's just a personal example, but I'm sure there are many similar ones. Debt levels are the domain of the CFO. Both sourcing funding, driving conversations about capital structure and investment decisions. You should ensure there's an agreed upon policy for your company's capital structure. This will enable you to mandate certain actions in case reality strays too far from policy. And in 2 weeks' time, we will dig further into the debt topic. Number three is on R&D investment. It's probably not all companies that are R&D heavy. However, at face value, it should be clear that heavy R&D investments should pave the way for long-term value creation. Even if your company doesn't have much R&D activity, you could use your innovation efforts as a proxy for this lever. McKinsey has documented that your company should be in the top 50% of your industry for a boost to your strategic success. This area may feel more conflicting to CFOs. Wanting a tangible return on investments in R&D activities may have too long a time horizon to satisfy some CFOs. Still, the activities feed into a value chain, and you should highlight the efficiency of each step in the value chain. In that way, you can almost mechanically calculate the expected return of $1 spent on R&D. Reality is less mechanical, of course. However, CFOs need the R&D ROI to be tangible to improve investment decisions in this area. And CFOs can definitely drive that. Number four, now we're moving into the external trends. So R&D, size of revenue, debt capacity is all based on historical choices you've made. The first one in the external environment is industry trends. All performance is relative. That's why most companies use benchmarking against their peers to sanity check if their financial performance is good or bad. But what if your entire industry is performing poorly? That's why industry trends matters. And McKinsey has documented that your industry should move one quintile up the curve of value creation relative to all other industries over a decade. So it's a long time horizon we're looking at here. But obviously, some industries are much more attractive than others, and that's a dynamic picture. Think of oil and gas versus green energy, or brick and mortar retail versus online retail. This is also something investors consider when allocating their capital. So it's a significant determining factor for your company moving forward. CFOs should understand how the company is performing relative to its peers, but you need to go beyond that. Look at how adjacent industries are performing. If your company is underperforming in this comparison, perhaps a move into an adjacent industry would make sense, i.e. from brick and mortar to online. The other external trend is geography. In simple terms, emerging markets are expected to outperform mature markets in terms of growth. So the more business you have in these markets, the more long-term growth you can expect. Pure math. There's also a risk dimension to consider, of course, but in a long-term perspective, the dynamic should work. McKinsey has determined that 40% of your business should be in high growth markets to increase your odds of strategic success. A good starting point for CFOs is to simply give an overview of your current book of business. How much is in high growth markets? And once you have that, facilitate a discussion with the leadership team on how to increase the ratio. This is also where you can discuss risks and rewards for each high growth market you're currently in or are considering to enter. So these are the two external factors. We'll proceed with the next five levers, which let's say are more active choices you can make as a company. The first one is M&A programs. So like strategies, it's also said that 70 to 90% of mergers and acquisitions fail to deliver the expected value creation. Why is M&A then a strategic value creation lever? It's because it delivers many opportunities to hit on the other levers, i.e. more growth, adjacent industries, different geographies, and so on. The real question is how to do them well. Here, McKinsey notes that it's about taking a programmatic approach rather than doing big deals years apart. That's because you need to build and maintain strong M&A integration capabilities to realize the value creation. It's also why to be successful with this lever, M&A needs to make up 30% of your market cap over a decade. And none of the deals you've made should be more than 30% of your market cap. Right? So two constraints there, but they kind of make sense, right? If you want to become good at something and create value from it, you should probably practice and do it often. So doing a big acquisition once every 5 years is probably bound to fail. CFOs can take part in everything from target identification to value realization. It's also not uncommon to see an M&A team being housed in the CFO organization. Number seven is resource reallocation. A company is a microcosm of the overall market, of course. So when McKinsey has determined that 20% of companies create 80% of the value, it's likely the same inside your company. That's also why resources should be reallocated from low ROI areas to high ROI areas continuously. McKinsey found that 50% of your total invested capital should be reallocated over a decade. Again, we're talking long-term perspectives here, but you'd also need some runway for your strategy to actually start working. CFOs continuously measure the performance of business units, products, customers, and so on. Hence, it should be straightforward to highlight where money is made and lost. To reallocate capital might not be as mechanical as simply looking at historical returns. Instead, it should be a holistic assessment of the current book of business for where the highest potential is moving forward. Number eight is capital expenditure. You need to spend money to make money, is a popular saying. And the same goes for companies, of course. The level of your investments also play a significant role in your chances of being strategically successful. Here, we're not even looking at the actual success of your investment, but merely the overall level. You need to be in the top 20% of capital expenditure in your industry to get a boost. That's also why, for instance, being debt constrained means you cannot invest, means you are surely missing out on this lever and M&A probably as well. CFOs can help determine what the top 20 would be and ensure that funding is available to spend the appropriate amount of money. Even if it's not a factor, it would also make sense for you to ensure that there's a rigorous evaluation process of each investment made to increase the chance of delivering it the overall expected ROI. At least I've seen companies in the past where, for some reason, the bank was open and anyone could just get funding from the investments. And in that scenario, you're likely to fund a lot of bad investments, hopefully also some good ones, but you can't really be sure when there's no real rigor in terms of how investments get approved. Number 9 is productivity improvement. This is a classic move for companies. Work with a lean workforce and the financials can be optimized, at least in the short term. Productivity improvements are a real lever though, and measured as up against the sales and general and administrative expenses as a ratio of revenue. A lot can be achieved though with automation and continuous improvement programs. However, according to McKinsey, you need to be in the top 30% of your industry for it to actually make a difference. Remember, all these levers are relative. Your peers or your competitors, let's say, are also moving. They're also pulling some of these levers. So if you don't pull hard enough, it's not going to make a difference. CFOs know this area very well and should follow the ratio closely. It's important, again, to make a holistic assessment to ensure the company can also be good and not just cheap. A great way to improve productivity is through the internal benchmarking, where you compare similar units. You shouldn't compare it on the cost level, though, since they can vary a lot from country to country. Instead, look at the headcount or FTE relative to the output delivered. Final lever, differentiation improvement. How are you differentiating your offerings from your competitors? Especially in transparent and commoditized industries like banking or certain retail segments, this is critical. Focus on the unique selling points of your product to justify why you demand a higher price. Alternatively, be the most efficient and low-cost producer of the product. This is measured on your EBITDA margin, and you need to be in the top 30% of your industry to improve your odds. CFOs should decompose the EBITDA margin into its distinct components, and together with department heads, devise action plans to improve every part. You may learn that some parts will never become a competitive advantage, and it'll help you to focus your efforts. Exercising strategic leadership is a vast area, and there are many possibilities for CFOs to take charge and make a difference. 10 levers and the framework we've covered here is a good start. We'll consider some practical steps as well. Okay, so let's finish up by considering some practical steps to take. We kind of say, fire up the analysis engine. To take charge as a strategic leader, you need to do a lot of preparation work. You can't just go up on a box in the canteen and start sounding like a visionary. You need to understand how your company is currently performing in value creation relative to your competitors and other industries. You can calculate the values for all 10 levers using your financial statements, and you'll find that most of them can be calculated for your competitors as well. You can also compare your result to the power curve, which shows the average for industries. We covered that also last week. Once you know your starting point, it's time to analyze where your biggest improvement potential lies. This is not an exact science, of course, but consider where you're lacking the most behind your competitors, or where you see the biggest variances across units internally in the company. The more variance, usually, the more opportunities to improve. Now you can initiate the conversation with the rest of the leadership team to highlight where you stand and where you need to improve. These discussions won't be easy, but since you come prepared, you're more than equipped to facilitate them. Remember, you're not dictating action, but discussing equals and trying to determine what's the best for the company. So let's briefly repeat the steps to take, and then we'll also turn to Marie, who came up on stage. So step number 1, calculate the values for each of the 10 levers. Number 2, calculate the values for your competitor and adjacent industries. Number 3, compare your values to the power curve for all industries. Number 4, analyze where you have the biggest improvement potential. Number 5, discuss the findings with the rest of the management team. And number 6, take action and start moving up the power curve. If CFOs can become strategic leaders and take charge of this process, they'll be loved by their CEOs. That's not to say it's easy or it's done in a fortnight. There's a lot of work to be done, so you'd better start now. How do you see this framework and these levers helping you to exercise strong leadership or perhaps help your CFO to do so? We have Marie up on stage. Marie, welcome to the stage. Good to have you here as always. Thoughts, perspectives on today's topic? Feel free.
Yeah, I understand. Thank you. That was great. And I really kind of keep hearing like the 80-20, you know, and you mentioned it today. And it's like, I think that's one of the hardest things that finance, that's difficult in finance, you know, finding that balance between speed and value, you know, when it comes to reporting and budgeting. And, you know, there was a famous quote from Jeff Bezos, you know, in 2016 saying, that if you make decisions with 90% of data, you're probably being too slow, that 70% is the optimum level to move forwards. And I think that's something that we kind of get kind of hung up on because of the analytical minds that we've got. I just wondered what your thoughts on that, you know, because like I said, it's between speed and value, really, you know, and when we get stuck in reporting and budgets.
I think it's a great point. You know, if the number is 70 or something else, of course, it's probably anyone's guess. It's definitely not 90%. I fully agree there that then you'll be too slow. And we're dealing with uncertainty here. You know, it's strategies and making choices. And of course, we do our analysis to try and be right. But as we also covered the last week in how to manage the next normal, it's impossible that we're right all the time. But as long as we have a system that can tell us when we are wrong, as soon as we know, we should be able to know, then it should be okay and we can correct the correct course. So I think this is true. And in terms of strategic analysis, you can analyze stuff to death forever, right? So it's really about finding that sweet spot where you can bring something valuable to the table while everyone understanding that, of course, it's not going to be perfect and the end all be all of all strategic analysis.
Yeah, that's it. We could, you know, we'd all love a perfectly accurate budget, but it's just life's not, it's not like that because it can be so complex. And I think aiming for perfection is, you know, what puts us on the back foot, really. So yeah, thanks for that, Anders.
You are welcome, Marie. And I think that kind of closes today's show. Thanks a lot, everyone, for listening in. Thanks, Marie, for being up here on stage. Next week, we'll continue with how CFOs can drive growth, which is another one of the top 10 priorities for CFOs in 2024. And I hope that you appreciate these deeper dives that we're now doing on the content. Feel free to share any feedback or reach out on LinkedIn in case you want to get in touch with me. Always available there. But until next week then, take care and hope to see you there. So bye for now, everyone.
You've been listening to Hashtag Finance Master, a weekly show recorded live on LinkedIn Audio. Don't forget to subscribe to stay updated on the latest trends in finance and accounting. And why not join Anders every Thursday on LinkedIn to share your own views and appear in the next episode?